Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. Today is a very special day because I'm on the air, number one. It's a miracle that I'm on the air, by the way. And the other miracle is that we have not only a normal show, but sort of a jam-packed show. I'm not a guest-driven show, but we have two amazing guests today. The president is expected to announce the resignation of his so-called attorney general. During the show, we'll carry that live. We have Dick Morris with his new book. But the biggest story of the day for me is the resignation of Eric Holder, which is not immediate, by the way. It's a sham in a certain regard. Because a federal judge overrode Obama's executive action. They've been trying to get the Fast and Furious papers from them for years. But the gangster regime would not release them. You know, it's an open book, this administration. And the open book run by the gangster regime, the Al Capone regime, would not release the papers on Fast and Furious for several years now. So we know Holder is part of the gang. He's the consigliere of this criminal enterprise. Well, he got nailed to a cross today when a federal judge just today denied a request from the Department of Injustice to delay the release of a list of Operation Fast and Furious documents being protected under President Barack Obama's assertion of executive privilege. It was requested through a June 2012 FOIA filing by government watchdog Judicial Watch, and today a district judge said to the DOJ, stop it. You're releasing those papers. So they try to block it until after the upcoming election. The judge said, no, you have until October 22nd, next month, to release those papers. Obama and Holder both know what's coming. They know that once the American people see the criminal negligence involved in running guns to Mexico, there's going to be hell to pay at the polls, and they try to block it until after the elections in November. Judge said, no, you're releasing them by October 22nd. So we have Tom Fenton on of Judicial Watch, who actually brought this case, to tell us more about the games that this gang is going to play in order to block the exposure of the truth. That's a big story. It's the biggest story of the day, if not of the week, of the month. Now, I'd be remiss to not mention to you that last night I did a very interesting show, a different change of pace. I did at my Jewish New Year show, the Rosh Hashanah show, and I explained to my audience the meaning of Rosh Hashanah, not only for Christians, but for Jews themselves who don't even understand what the holiday is. Most Jews don't understand their own religion. They have no idea what it is. To them, Judaism is a cultural thing. The majority of Jews in America see Judaism as a cultural identity, certainly not as a religious identity. We understand that to be true. They're known as Bagels and Lox Jews. They don't like to be called that, but that's what they're known as by those who really understand that God exists. And what I did for you during the show was explain the meaning of Rosh Hashanah. If you're listening right now, I have a real treat for you. I'm not going to replay that. But later in the show, I stumbled upon a revelation of my own, an original revelation that I've never heard from any religious figure in my life. I never heard any religious figure explain to me what I explained to my audience. And I have to thank my audience for helping me understand what I myself discovered in reading the prayers, where when the Jew says to God, please write me in the book of life, which he does during the period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this 10 days period, the children believe it, the religious believe it, the truly Orthodox believe that God is watching them more closely and judging in this time period when we're very close to God and God is close to us, whether we're going to live or die next year, whether we're going to prosper or not prosper next year. And so for those of you of faith, of any religion, it's very important you understand what I'm trying to say to you. And what I'm trying to say to you is really quite simple. In order for me to explain it to you, I'm going to replay for you what I found last night. But before I do, I want to read you an email about it, because I emailed it to Craig Smith, my principal sponsor of Swiss America, the great gold company. And look what Craig sent back. He said, Michael, that is awesome and exactly correct. God made man so that we would be here to allow him to be God. If we weren't, the Bible says the trees of the fields will clap their hands. But because we are here, we can clap and acknowledge God. For his sake, he created us, and he wants us to be with him forever. This is so rich, Michael. You took a terribly difficult theological question and made it easy enough to understand that even a person with an IQ no bigger than his shoe size could understand. And how you added how instruction from the earthly father came during this holiday was brilliant. As you say, as we get older, we forget and get a bit cynical. But that truth our fathers instilled in us decades ago still exists in our memories like a branding mark on our brains. Michael, well done. Thanks for taking the time to send it. This is a keeper. Plus, the truth wrapped in savage comedy of Obama being the giver of life is something only Savage could do, like no other. You are truly an original national treasure. People who lived at a time when you shared these types of truth should be grateful for being alive at this time in history. Craig Smith of Swiss America. I've known Craig for 20 years. He's always backed my show. He will stand with me until the day I stop broadcasting and then beyond. And what I want to play for you right now is my revelation of why God wants us to be written into the book of life. Listen carefully. Since the primitives who believe in religion amongst the Jews, beginning with Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of awe, they believe, even the most cynical actually probably has a semblance of remembering of being a child, during which the father may have said to him, mind your step, son, you're entering God's temple, and over the next 10 days, God is going to judge you whether you're written into the book of life. Like, oh, man. Okay, I don't want to, I'm young, I'm 8 years old, I don't want to be wiped out. You watch your step, you blow that nose, you brush those teeth, you do your homework, you don't tell any lies, you polish that apple for your teacher, you know, do everything right over these next 10 days because God is watching. So the child, you know, believes in that. Then you become a man, you become cynical, who believes in that? That's for a kid. And yet there's an awful lot of adults who actually believe God is watching them in these days. So they do certain rituals, they blow the shofar. And they say, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, enabled us to reach this occasion. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean God has granted us life? Isn't it Obama who's granted us life? What do you mean sustained us? Isn't it welfare and food stamps that sustain us? What do you mean God has enabled us to reach this occasion? Isn't it Obama who has enabled us to reach this occasion? Well, to some it is, but to most who understand that God preceded Obama, there actually is a God. And there will be a God after Obama. And they do ask God to inscribe them in the book of life. But what's a very interesting fact that you don't know is that during the Rosh Hashanah period, when the men are praying and the women are praying, they say in Hebrew, remember us for life, inscribe us in the book of life for your sake, O living God. So you're saying to God, for your sake, inscribe us in the book of life. What does that mean? Why would God want us to be in the book of life? Why does he want us to live, not to die? I say this is one of the most important questions that I, as a spiritual man, could answer on the radio from my perspective. Am I a rabbi? No. Am I a holy man? No. Am I asking for a donation? No. Am I selling you a survival item to cash in on it? No. Am I selling you a Savage Bible? No. I'm giving you one man's interpretation of that very meaningful prayer where the religious man says, God, inscribe us in the book of life for your sake. Why do they say for your sake? Why is it for God's sake they would want to inscribe us? Because without man, God could not exist on this planet. Do you understand that? And do you know how that differentiates us from the atheists? As good as they may be, some atheists, and as wonderful they may be, and as great shepherds they may be of the earth, they don't even understand what they're doing in the big picture. In other words, the atheistic nature lover would say, I'm as good as you, if not better, because I protect the environment. What they don't understand is that a plant cannot worship God. The animal who I may love cannot worship God. My dog, who I love very much, cannot worship God. The eagle cannot worship God. The hawk that I love to look at as he flies over the trees cannot worship God. But I can. And so, in other words, for God to exist on this planet, we have to be here. So for the sake of God, we ask him to inscribe us in the book of life. And that's my revelation. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And now the reason I spent 3 hours on a religious show yesterday, there were two reasons. One, because the Islamo-fascist Nazis from hell, the subhumans, who are raping, burying people alive, cutting people's heads off, plotting to destroy our country, plotting to convert you or kill you. The subhumans will kill us. You know why they want to kill us? Because of our religion or our lack of religion, or that we're not as pure as them. You see how pure they are? They can rape little girls. They're so pure, these Islamo-fascist vermin throwbacks, that they can rape little children, they can cut their heads off, they can bury men alive, they can kill other Muslims who are not as pure as them. How sick can you get? How much of a homicidal maniac can you get that you actually believe that your twisted view of God enables you to cut a child's head off and rape her mother? That's how sick you are? You're telling me your holy book says you can do that? Well, this is what we're dealing with. They're cockroaches, but they're below cockroaches. A cockroach is a cockroach by DNA. A cockroach knows only to be a cockroach. But a human was given the spirit which would enable a human to be better than a cockroach, better than a lowly man. Instead, they become lower than a cockroach. So therefore, they're subhumans. And I tell you why I'm telling you this. They're going to kill you for your religion. You better know what your religion is and see whether or not it's worth dying for, because they're going to kill you for it, whether you want to believe that or not. Whether you're a Christian, a Jew, a Buddhist, a Hindu, it doesn't matter. They'll kill you. And if you're a conforming Muslim who is not a psychopath maniac, they'll kill you too. And that's why you have to understand we're in this war for a long time. We're at war. These are very stressful times. Make no mistake about it. It's not a video game. It's not going away in 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. The war has been going on for over 1,000 years. It has metastasized in your lifetime because of the weakness of Obama, because of the insanity of the liberals that have penetrated all of the intelligence agencies with their bending over backwards for Muslims. They're all around us. They're in the country. The terrorists are here. They've told us that. The FBI has said that they're here. The DHS has said they're here. And you know why they're here? Because they let them in. Because they were so afraid to block them out. Now they're debating whether to deny them a passport. You hear this? This morning I heard a Republican so-called Ed Royce. A Republican goes on CNN and calls them these gentlemen, these young men, these men. I wanted to break the television set. No, they're not men. They're not young men. They're subhumans. They should never have been allowed in the country. If they were born here, they should be thrown out of the country. Their parents' homes should be ransacked by the FBI to see what other hate literature may be found there. Their mosques should be visited by the FBI before a bomb goes off in your daughter's nursery school. That's one man's opinion. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Two big guests, a long, wonderful show. Thank you for being here. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. The most divisive racist attorney general in American history is going to step down. Now, it sounds as though he's stepping down by his own volition, but that's not why he's stepping down. And it's funny to me that only my show found out why he's suddenly announced he's stepping down. It's because just this morning, a federal judge said, no, you can no longer delay the release of a list of Operation Fast and Furious documents being protected by your boss, Obama, and his assertion of executive privilege. A judge did that this morning. Immediately thereafter, Holder says he's stepping down. I don't understand how Fox News doesn't have the whole context of it. I'm the only one in America who found that. Neil, thank you for digging that up. How could my producer get it from Town Hall? Kate Pavlich found it. We're running it on the Savage Nation. And no one else is referring to this. It sounded like John Mitchell during the Nixon era, how the liberals went after him tooth and claw for having done nothing but be an attorney general. This guy has committed crimes, one after the other, and he's hidden behind executive privilege and blocking documents. It's unbelievable to me. I have a half a chapter in Stop the Coming Civil War about Eric Holder. He gives me the creeps. He gives me nightmares. He scares me. Now, don't expect him to step down tomorrow. He's going to announce it today at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time that he's stepping down. but we don't know exactly when he's stepping down. I love when they say stepping down. WABC Thomas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, bless the Jewish New Year to you and your family. Michael, I consider President Obama to be the great divider, and I consider you to be the great uniter. I consider you a modern-day John the Baptist, and I'll tell you why. You call out the Jewish faith and the Catholic faith.
You know, I think you've called me John the Baptist before, and I said, please don't make the reference since his head wound up on a platter.
You call out the Jewish faith.
No, answer that. Why would you compare me to a guy whose head wound up on a platter?
Well, Michael, that doesn't have to be the ending, but John the Baptist did a lot of great things before that happened. He became a martyr.
I know, but sometimes the end justifies the means. I don't like the analogy, but go ahead. Let's let that go. So why am I John the Savage?
John the Savage, because you call out when the Catholic Church leans left, when they lean towards Marxism, when they support illegal aliens.
They're harboring the illegal alien children. All the Catholic churches are doing that. Of dollars being given to them by the Obama criminal machine to harbor the illegal aliens.
And you also call out the Jewish faith equally, Michael. They've been voting left for 50 years, and our country is paying a bitter price for it. When are they going to...
You are absolutely right. The Jewish temples today are harbingers of the same liberalism that you see from the federal government. It's a disgrace that they're one and the same and in lockstep with the federal government. That's not what they're supposed to be.
And you've also brought out the evils of the desecration of our language, our borders, and our culture. And Michael,
I have, and I thank you. This man should have never been appointed. The country is being overrun and trampled by illegal aliens, many of whom are infected with the Obama flu. You know, someone said to me, how do you know that it's the Obama flu from these illegal kids? Because the strain of virus that's spreading is identical to that endemic in Nicaragua. It's a medical fact, damn it!
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Corrupt attorney general in American history, certainly the most unpopular, the most divisive, will announce today in about an hour that he's going to step down. Not immediately, of course. He'll delay it as long as he can. And that's because the contempt of Congress case against him will proceed as a result of a federal judge's overriding Obama's executive privilege. So the gang suddenly has a little dent in their armor. The gang that no one could touch. The gang that can shoot very straight indeed suddenly sees a dent in their armor, and they're knocking him off the boardwalk for a while. Big story. We'll have Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch, who pressed the case, and I can't imagine what he had to do to get this federal judge's attention. I could just imagine fighting this federal government, what this was like, what guts he must have. Kevin on WBAP on a religious question. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to say I disagreed with you on your assessment. You said that God needs man to exist on earth, and I would say that God doesn't need man. Man needs God. God was here long before man. And
yeah, but listen to what I'm saying, though. Maybe I didn't explain it properly. Of course we understand that man needs God, but I'm giving you the Jewish viewpoint, which is that God needs man, and Craig Smith, who is a Christian, agrees with me. He even cites scripture to say, God said if man didn't exist, the trees would clap for him.
That's true. That's what I'm
okay.
saying. God
but listen to me. This is the most important part of our discussion, and it's not an argument. Yes, we don't have to be here, and the trees could clap, the bears could roar, the eagles could squawk, the dogs could bark. But man is here because God wants man to worship him. He wants a higher form of life to worship him. He doesn't want a plant. He doesn't want a tree. He doesn't want an eagle. He doesn't want the bear. He doesn't want the eagle alone. He wants man, his divinely created being, to worship him, Kevin.
I wholly agree with you. God created us in his image, and he loves us. That's why he made a way, a path for our salvation. He loves us, and that's why he wants to be here. But it sounded like you were saying that he needed us. And a sovereign God that created this whole universe does not need man. That's
okay. I think that we're saying almost the same thing, but not quite. But my interpretation is a little more, I'm going to use a word, earthy, than yours. Mine is more Old Testament. Mine is more ancient than your viewpoint, which is that without us, God doesn't have a full worship on this planet. He needs us. And I thank you for, you know what, let me send you a gift of Stop the Coming Civil War. It's a beautiful free book that you're getting for nothing. It's a $27 book for zero, just because you're, at least you have the guts to call the show. It's 50% off on the website right now. All right, you can get it still. Disagree, you know. Man needs God, not the other way around. No, God needs man. We're a divinely created entity that God created. You know, once you understand that, it'll actually lift you up from your own feelings of, let us say, self-contempt. Everyone walks around with shame. Everyone walks around. I don't care who that person is. It could be Leon DiCaprio himself. You know that even he has shame? You know that even Robert De Niro must have guilt and shame? Would you believe it? Would you believe that even Barack Obama, as arrogant as the latte saluter is, I'll bet you some moments even he has some moments of guilt and shame and doubt. Would you believe that? Of course, he doesn't go on his knees and ask for God's salvation. He gets on his knees and he says, thank you, Karl Marx, for giving me this day. Thank you, Saul, for giving me the way. My phone number is 855-4728-2. What would you like to talk about? It can only be God if you want. It could be the Islamo-fascists. Oh, I have something important for you. This is a little collateral, but I must read it to you, so bear with me. And I have to do something for a second. And what I had to do just now is turn the overhead lights on in the Savage studio. I'm running in the dark because my eyes hurt. After the ophthalmologist, they always hurt for a few days. I got a letter, an anonymous letter, that's full of anger. I wouldn't say hatred, but anger. And here it goes. September 15th, 2014, you broadcasted that the Japanese military had forced Korean women to be sex slaves, so-called comfort women. Unless you pursue the fact, do not open your mouth on this issue. I cannot believe how ignorant, brainwashed you are. You are as low as liberals. Did you receive a bribe from Koreans? I hope you are not too coward to make a public apology to Japanese soon. Well, this ignorant man doesn't even know the history of his own people. And the reason I brought up the Japanese comfort women and the rape of the Chinese and Korean women during World War II was not to insult the Chinese or Japanese, who are a wholly different people today. It was to tell you that while ISIS is raping women, it's not the first time in history that the military has used women like this. And so let me just give you some references, sir, if you're still listening to me. I know you're in Pennsylvania by the postmark. Amnesty International wrote an article called Breaking the Silence on Comfort Women. Up to 200,000 women were forced into sexual slavery by the Japanese military during World War II, one of the world's biggest cases of human trafficking. 64 years later, they're waiting for justice. But too many of them were denied the choice to be a wife, a mother, a sister, or a grandma. The Japanese Imperial Army enslaved between 80,000 and 200,000 women and girls from 1932 to 1945. Most came from Korea, with many also from Japan and the Dutch East Indies. Women and girls were obtained through abduction or deception, in some cases purchased from destitute parents. Some were as young as 12. For some, the comfort stations were their first sexual experience. I don't want to read anymore. In fact, the Japanese government itself apologized to the former comfort women, but it was a half-hearted apology. There's another article from the Huffington Post, The History of Comfort Women, a World War II Tragedy We Can't Forget, by Catherine Brooks. 200,000 recruited to be prostitutes for the Imperial Japanese Army during World War II. I saw a Chinese-made movie on this 2 years ago. I forget what it was, Neil. Do you remember what it was? It was about the rape of Nanking, wasn't it? Yes, where they took Chinese girls and women, and they forced them into sex 24 hours a day. The Japanese soldiers would come in and do what men do when they're demented and sick. And that's rape the women over and over till some of them died. Those who lived were no longer worthy of their own selves. They were destroyed by this. So I take umbrage to a man who says to me, I don't know my history. I would say his ignorance is what we're talking about. But this is not about the Japanese in World War II. This is about ISIS right now. How come you haven't heard about them raping, abducting and raping Christian women and the Yazidi women? How come the cowards in the media How come the cowards in the liberal media won't even tell you what they're doing to women? What's the matter? You're liable to hate them too much? You're liable to actually hate the enemy and despise them and want them crushed like rotten bugs? It's unbelievable to me what liberalism is. It'll kill all of us unless we have a sea change in the mindset of this country. Okay, let's go to the callers. Lexington, Kentucky, WVNN Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage. I was just wondering what you thought about why the liberals always condemn Adolf Hitler and the Nazis, but they really don't have anything to say about Islamic terrorists right now.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Some are pretty obvious and some are obscure. It's why I have named the enemy Islamofascists, because they are identical in design to Adolf Hitler's regime. Only this time, instead of quoting Mein Kampf, they quote their religious beliefs. Hitler used his book, Mein Kampf, My Battle, as the rallying cry for his Nazi movement. These psychotic cockroaches quote their own holy book, which, by the way, I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't give me pleasure, has over 100 references to killing and enslaving the enemy. Incidentally, do you know that, Joe?
No, I didn't.
Their holy book has over 100 references to killing and enslaving the enemy. It's not coming out of air. And for President Obama to say, with peaceful religion, they have no religion, they're not Muslims, is a lie. They are Muslims. They say they're Muslims. It's an embarrassing fact that must be dealt with. And it can only be dealt with by the intelligentsia or the intellectuals within the Muslim world, of whom there are many. They have to start calling for a revision of their own Bible. The Christians went through a reformation, did they not?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Modern Jews don't enact the horrendous murder, death, killing, stoning of the Old Testament. Well, why do these throwbacks do that? Why isn't anyone talking about it in this modern age? Okay, so I made my point. Thanks for calling. Contempt of Congress case against Eric Holder will proceed. This is a huge story. It's enough to make you clap and cheer. But you know it's not over. You know that very well. You know it's not over. You know the gang that can shoot very straight indeed. You know the gang that gave Mark Rich a pardon. You know that the gang that called us a nation of cowards during Black History Month in 09. You know that the man who was held in contempt of Congress. You know the man who gave the spying on reporters issue its impetus. You know that the man, Holder, who was behind the IRS investigation, you know he's not stepping down tomorrow. You know that. You'll hear all about it later on when the lawyer who brought the case will give you the inside story, the rest of the story right here on the Savage Nation. Let's go to clip one, though, right now, Robert. Let's play it as soon as you can before we take our first break in this segment on the Savage Nation for September 25th, 2014.
One cannot truly understand America without understanding the historical experience of black people in this nation. Simply put, to get to the heart of this country, one must examine its racial soul. Though this nation has proudly thought of itself as an ethnic melting pot, in things racial, we have always been, and we, I believe, continue to be, in too many ways, essentially a nation of cowards.
And, you know, I have no comment to make. I have no comment to make. This is the most racist administration in American history. They have used race to get where they are. They use race to stay where they are. And they use race to suppress anyone who finds out the gang's crimes. Everything this man does is meant to stir the pot of hatred. So they finally got him on the Fast and Furious documents. See, this is how they get the big ones. It starts with a very small, obscure thing. It takes years. Al Capone, who was once the head of the Chicago Mafia, they couldn't touch him. He was the Untouchables, don't you remember? The federal government, the good part of the federal government, that went after Al Capone, could not touch him. But then they got him on a tax case, and they brought him into prison on tax evasion. He died of syphilis in prison. But it was not because of his crimes. It wasn't the bootlegging, the murders, the bombings. It was a tax evasion case. The same with John Gotti. Now, it was not tax evasion that got John Gotti. It was something obscure as well, I think. So when there's an honest attorney general, we're all safer for it. When you have a corrupt attorney general who sees everything through the racial lens and has an animus towards white people, what you have is America in the year 2014. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Well, you've been doing a real good job at brainwashing your liberal acolytes, Mr. Holder, but not any longer. It's the Savage Nation. Try to be here after the turn of the hour. We have Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, who brought the case to throw out Holder. That's why Holder resigned. It's a huge story. We'll develop it. Then at the bottom of the hour, we have Holder announcing his resignation, and then Dick Morris. It's a phenomenal show. Here's some good news. I only wish we had the leadership in America that we have in England, which, as tepid as Cameron is, they just, in Britain, arrested the Islamist preacher, Adam Choudhury, and eight others in a sweep. Islamist preacher Anjem Choudhury was arrested with nine other throwback vermin cockroaches from hell. British police arrested nine men in a counterterrorism raid Thursday in London that authorities described as part of it. Blah, blah, blah. All the men, blah, 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 they belong to a banned organization encouraging terrorism, searching residential. You see, the British know what's coming. Among those in custody was Anjem Choudhury, a controversial Islamist preacher in Britain who hates America. Now, he's a former lawyer, so he's very, very careful. The preacher, Adam Choudhury, is very much like those in America who are the front groups for this Nazi ideology. And they know just how not to break the law in their public statements. But in England, you know what they said? We're not waiting for you to put a bomb in our children's nurseries. You're under arrest. You're going to jail. He's renowned for being very, very clever with the law and staying just the right side of it most of the time. See, I pray to God that when we win the election in November and we get even the tepid Republicans in power, which I'm trying to do with everything I have in me, with the radio show, with Stop the Coming Civil War, which will be out October 7th. You're going to play a big role in that message. When we win the Senate, that's nothing. That's just the first step. We then have to push very hard at the middle-of-the-road check pants country club Republicans to do the right thing. That's where the real fight's going to begin. We're going to have to, get them at town hall meetings. We're literally going to have to shake them up. We're going to have to make them do what's right. They're going to have to start arresting these Islamists and their front groups in America. See, to me, everything begins with national security, and then you work your way back in. You start with national security, and then you work your way back in. You then replace all of the Islamists who are working inside our intelligence agencies. You have a complete purge of all the Islamists put in by Obama. You then kick out all of the immigrants that he brought in who might have terrorist ties. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I told you 4 weeks ago, Obama on his own unwrote a law that said any individual who has even a loose tie to terrorists cannot come into the country under asylum. Obama struck that in the middle of the night. You then find all of those people and you throw them out of the country. That's the end of that. You don't even give them a trial. Throw them out. They shouldn't have been here. I mean, why would Obama bend over backwards to let people with even loose terrorist ties into the country with what's going on? I'll let you figure out why Hussein Obama does things he does. So we have a big battle ahead of us. I'll be with you on the radio as long as God wants me to be, and as long as I have these stations, and no longer. It's that simple. After which time, I will disappear into the ethers with a white hat and a white sail, setting off into the sunset.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. Now we go to a very important political story, which I have been talking about and mixed in with the Rosh Hashanah show and everything else. This is the biggest story, basically, of Obama's career, so far as I could tell. This corrupt administration has hid documents from the day they started. We have the most corrupt, divisive attorney general in American history. He's far worse than John Mitchell, by the way. Far worse than John Mitchell. He never should have been appointed, but the check pants Republicans went along with it. The man who did this, though, who brought him down, is Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton, and he joins us now on the Savage Nation. Tom, a real honor to have you on the program. Welcome.
A pleasure to be with you again. Thank you, Michael.
So, Tom, you've been fighting to get these papers released for how many years now?
For years. These are the Fast and Furious documents. That scandal, that operation by Eric Holder killed hundreds of innocent Mexicans and Brian Terry, the U.S. Border Patrol agent. And what happened is Obama came in, asserted executive privilege to protect them from being disclosed to Congress. Holder's held in contempt. DOJ defends it to the hilt. The House of Representatives sues. It gets nowhere. We sue separately. Say, give us the documents under the Freedom of Information Act request. The court delays it a bit while they bicker over between the Congress and the Justice Department. Finally, the court says, I'm not delaying this anymore. Give what Judicial Watch is asking. So now they have to give us, by October 22nd, and they tried to delay this as long as possible, at least a list of the documents of who, and the documents are about whether and how Congress was lied to by Holder and the Justice Department about Fast and Furious. And in my mind, it's no coincidence that Holder resigns the same week. And this comes on top of our disclosure.
But wait, he's announcing his resignation in the next 20 minutes, Tom, as though it's come out of the blue. But it didn't. Isn't it because the judge just... When was that ruling found by that judge? When did the judge give down his ruling that they have to release the papers?
It was on September 23rd. Today is the 25th. It was the day before yesterday.
All right, but then all of a sudden Holder announces resignation 2 days later. So it's coincidental or a direct result of the judge? It's got to be the judge. They know what's coming. Then they try to block it till after the upcoming elections. The judge says, no, you got to do it by the 22nd. What are they going to do next, Tom? What's their next legal maneuver to not release that list of documents?
Oh, I think they're going to have to release it, and that's why Holder's going. And, you know, you also have to put in context also the IRS scandal, which we had gotten documents showing Lois Lerner was talking to the Department of Justice about prosecuting the same people her agency was suppressing. So now we've got the IRS scandal embroiling Holder's Justice Department, which, as you know, isn't doing anything on that. So, you know, you can't run from the rule of law forever. You know, our country is a mess in many ways, especially Washington. But, you know, there is still law here. And you can fight the law, but after a while, the courts will get to you and the truth will prevail. And in this case, we're going to get info that, in the least, in my view, on Fast and Furious, it's going to outline the cover-up and who was involved.
All right, Tom, let me ask you this. It's U.S. District Court Judge John D. Bates who just denied a request from the Department of Justice today to delay the release of a list of Operation Fast and Furious documents. The judge, can he be overruled now? Can Holder now shop it beyond him?
Well, he can try, but this is a basic Freedom of Information Act request. So the most transparent administration in history is going, I think, unlikely to it's going to be unlikely they could appeal or would even dare to appeal a judge's order asking them to tell Judicial Watch what documents they're not going to give to Judicial Watch, but describe who got them and why they're being withheld.
All right, so but Holder's going to announce his resignation today, Obama will, in about 15 or 20 minutes. But he actually won't leave for a while, isn't that true?
Well, yes, that's true. But by announcing his resignation, the media will ignore his misconduct and pretend that he's no longer Attorney General. And to be clear, Fast and Furious, hundreds of Mexicans killed, U.S. Border Patrol agent killed, They lied to Congress about it, and this Attorney General is never held to account. And I can guarantee you that the family of Brian Terry is happy he's leaving. And I can guarantee you they're happy these documents are coming out.
So on two questions.
This is so important.
Okay, Judicial Watch does the work that a legitimate government should do, just as we in talk radio do the service that the mainstream media should do but doesn't. You live on donations, obviously. But, Tom, I want to ask you a collateral crazy question. Have you feared for your own personal safety over these years, taking this administration on?
No, I haven't. Well, we were audited during the Clinton years, you know, it's politics, and I'm as prominent as anyone else in D.C. You never know, but we're careful. I'm more concerned about, people like Brian Terry who get killed because of malfeasance of this administration or innocents killed by terrorists because this administration let them go, and our military who was placed in harm's way and not provided support or people left behind like in Benghazi. Those are the people whose safety I'm worried about.
Tom, let me ask you this question then. What is Fast and Furious to a new listener or someone who's not that political listening to the Savage Nation today? What did they do? This government inadvertently ran machine guns to Mexico. What for?
They were trying to trace, they wanted to run the argument that U.S., the Second Amendment was behind gang violence in Mexico by the cartels. So in order to prove the point, they allowed guns to be bought and sold in a way that they knew would allow them to end up in Mexican drug cartels. So there were people coming in. The gun dealers were saying, I can't sell to these guys. And the ATF said, you should. And instead of tracking the guns and arresting them if they did something wrong with them by either conveying them improperly to the cartels or whatever, they lost track of them and didn't bother tracking. And the purpose was to see if they would show up at crime scenes.
So where is the crime here? What is the crime that Eric Holder committed, in your opinion, with the they didn't intend to kill people, right? This is an inadvertent result, correct?
Well, Michael, if you knowingly allowed a gun to get out of your house that you knew was likely to be used in a crime and you didn't do anything to stop it, what do you think a prosecutor locally would say to you?
I pretty much know what would happen. But you're saying this came from the top down. This was in the early years of the Obama administration when they wanted to come down on the Second Amendment, isn't it, Tom?
It was, and they were trying to get good press showing that, U.S. gun dealers were supplying the guns for gang violence. And it was a bunch of money. They were getting all the guns from China, and we knew it. And in order to get press for that idea, they came up with this dangerous Fast and Furious operation, and they just let guns go out. They didn't track it, and it ended up Brian Terry, obviously a victim. These guns were used to slaughter hundreds of Mexicans, and Holder himself admitted they'll show up at crime scenes for years to come. As far as I'm concerned, for all of Holder's, race baiting, lawlessness,
yep,
and criminality,
right,
there is nothing else we should be talking about but Fast and Furious.
You think that trumps it all?
It certainly does. I mean, Watergate didn't have body bags.
Yeah. Now, I compared him to John Mitchell in the last hour, and I know in your press release you made a comparison to Mitchell. Were Mitchell's crimes under Nixon equal to or worse than or less than what Holder has done in your estimation?
I think it's worse because at least Mitchell was doing what other political appointees had done in previous administrations. But prior to Nixon, you had Johnson. Prior to Johnson, you had Kennedy, and they ran the Justice Department as Nixon did, as a political fiefdom. They did what they were told. Holder was supposed to be someone who was honest and would bring justice back to the Justice Department and save it from the creeps that ran it under the Bush administration, we were told by the left. We knew he was a crook. We knew he helped facilitate the sale of pardons and approved all that during the Clinton years.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in, and we're always told by the left, you would think Nixon was still president the way they still talk about Nixon's crimes.
Yeah,
and yet
they always bring up Nixon and John Mitchell, but apparently they have a blindness when it comes to what's going on right now. We have a hero on the show right now, and I don't often say that, but I know how tough it is to do this show. I know how tough it is to get up here every day and put yourself on the line. But Tom has gone to court for America through Judicial Watch. Yeah, I think putting himself at great risk, personally, knowing this administration, they give me the chills. So two things, Tom. One, I want to open the board up at 855-407-282, some one or two questions for Tom about what this really means, and how do they make donations to Judicial Watch, Tom?
Well, obviously go to judicialwatch.org, or maybe it's not obvious, judicialwatch.org, and sign up, make donations, and as importantly, frankly, get the word out. The truth is at our website. These are the documents that we've sued this most transparent administration. You know, we've gone to court over 160 times just to get them to follow the FOIA law.
How much does that wind up costing a group like yours? 160 court appearances? What did it cost?
I mean, you're talking millions of dollars in expenses just to get this information.
And you live only on donations, correct?
Yeah, we're grassroots.
I assume you don't receive any federal money.
That's right, unless it's a result of us beating the feds and they have to pay some modest fees.
All right. If anyone has a quick and important question, try to get through Neil to reach Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch. We'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. In about 10 minutes, Eric Holder is going to announce his resignation. We have with us pages to Eric Holder's offenses against Americans. And I'm not going to talk about them now because we have a guest on the line, but I want to make one statement from page 162. Listen to this. More than 10,000 attorneys work at the Department of Justice. Did you know that? Did you know that he has over 10,000 acolytes working there? Tom, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thanks again. Good to be with you.
10,000 lawyers work for Eric Holder. How many of them are going to be left after he's gone? All of them.
Well, the problem is the Justice Department is full of appointees and so-called civil servants who share his extremist views. And the ones who want to do an honest job and represent the government in a way that would do us proud are a woefully small minority there. And, I just learned today from a Justice Department official telling them, of course, of minorities, don't worry, help is coming. That was his reputation. Imagine being in the office where the Attorney General is focusing on minorities in your office, and he's telling them, don't worry, help is coming.
No, I know he's a racist. I mean, my opinion is he is a racist. Everything he does is racial. Look what he did in Ferguson. He went down there and made it worse, not better.
Security measures. In North Carolina, they're challenging voter ID and limiting early voting. You know what early voting is, where they have elections for a month prior to actual election day.
Yes,
and
crazy.
They're playing the race card, attacking voter ID. And Eric Holder has played the race card. He's coordinated with Al Sharpton on this litigation. So Al Sharpton and Eric Holder are two peas in a pod on issues like
that. How could that dirtbag, that street agitator, Al Sharpton, be listed today on the Drudge Report stating that he's actually helping select the next attorney general? Is that true?
I have no doubt.
Why is that dirtbag in the White House? That guy has so much baggage, including criminal activity, in my estimation, and yet the president parades him around like he's somebody holy?
Holder is briefing Sharpton on the White House, we know, on issue on this lawsuit in North Carolina against voter ID.
Unbelievable to me what this country has degenerated to under this administration. Well, look, you won the case. The judge came down with the ruling. They suddenly announced Holder's resigning. What will happen when the documents are finally released, which will be, what, 2 years from now? Will he ever pay a penalty for this?
Well, he is paying a penalty, and he's leaving in a cloud of corruption. Everyone knows the writing was on the wall with this court's ruling and all the other scandals that Obama has been buffeted by. He's done playing defense. He won't have the Justice Department to protect him anymore. And who knows what will come from these documents. Accountability a much more significant victory for the people on Fast and Furious, at least. And Holder's going to be on the back end on this.
Well, Tom Finton, as I say, you're a hero of mine because I know how courageous you are to take on the Justice Department with 10,000 lawyers and the Obama administration with their deviousness and their anger and their hatred and their game playing, and you just beat them. That must make you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. And these guys don't play fair. They don't play nice. And I sometimes can't believe it. I'm not a lawyer, but I can't believe the ethics sometimes of the appointees at the Justice Department. That they.
He certainly is a race hustler, worse than Al Sharpton, Eric Holder, in my mind. But for him to go after Chris Christie over the New Jersey Turnpike and allow Islamist murderers free reign in America is astonishing. Tom Finton of Judicial Watch, thank you so much for being with us today. And all I can say is we salute you on the Savage Nation.
Thank you for the good word. Appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, look, when we come back, the Attorney General himself will announce his own resignation. We'll play that live. We then have Dick Morris with his new book. What more can you get in one day on radio? Right? From the ridiculous to the sublime, all in a 3-hour period. Al Sharpton is nothing compared to Eric Holder, and yet Al Sharpton is now going to pick the next Attorney General. Can you imagine this president would stoop to the gutter for his advice?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Falls the full burden of proving to the world that we really mean it when we say all men are created free and equal.
Come on, get off it. You know you go after certain races. You know that.
One of the longest-serving attorney generals in American history.
The only wish I have today is that this was Obama announcing his retirement, resignation.
Remember, the summary came to me and he said he thought 6 years was a
pretty
good
one. I can't listen to him. I'm glad I'm not running this liar. I can't take it.
Imagine his family agrees.
He's a corrupt attorney general.
Married up.
A divisive attorney general,
wife,
a racist attorney general, and he belongs in the slammer.
Obi-Gyney, have been great friends to Michelle.
You said Obi-Gyney twice now, and the great
Brooke
wife
and
children.
And Buddy are excited to get their dad back.
Mussolini had a nice wife and mistress too.
This is bittersweet. But with his
who cares about his wife and
Eric
children? It's about the crimes he committed. That's why he's resigning. This guy can't tell
and
the truth.
That successor is confirmed by the Senate.
Yeah, confirmed by Al Sharpton.
Which means
as soon as Al Sharpton confirms the next attorney general, you'll be hearing from me.
Career of public service.
All right, turn it off. Everything this man says irks me. I can't take it anymore. I wish I could say to you I didn't get irked by him. Let's go to something far more important as I calm down. Eric Holder is a far more dangerous race hustler than Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson put together. Good riddance. I only wish he was gone yesterday along with his boss. But nevertheless, they're not. Joining us now is one of my good friends, Dick Morris. Dick, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. It's so good to see you. Happy New Year to you.
Dick, what is this with Eric Holder resigning? I mean, come on. You know what's going on. This guy finally got caught with his pants down.
A big part of it is the Fast and Furious. The documents will be released. I think the other part of it is that Obama wants to rehabilitate his image going into the November elections. That's why I think he suddenly is pretending to grow a backbone in Syria. And just as Bush had Rumsfeld resign, but then waited until after the election in 06 to announce it, Obama's getting Holder off the boat before it sinks. And, you know, sometimes you'd have a resignation that really symbolizes an entire presidency. McNamara with Lyndon Johnson, Meese with Ronald Reagan, Rumsfeld with George Bush, and this one, Holder, with Obama.
Dick, your new book is entitled, what is the title of your book?
Our Grab, and the subtitle is Obama's Dangerous Plan for a One-Party Nation. And a lot of people, whenever you look at Obama, you're stuck with the question, is he stupid or is he anti-American? And I believe there's a third answer. I think that he is determined to craft a permanent, perpetual, one-party liberal democratic majority in the United States by stacking the election and fixing the deck, not by persuading us honestly that he's right, but by changing the system so only a liberal Democrat can win.
And, of course, he's doing that by changing the demographics, meaning bringing in of all, millions of illegal aliens, flooding America with illegals, overriding our voter ID laws. What else is he doing?
Not only, by the way, from Mexico, but also from the Middle East. He's let in 100,000 Syrians, 100,000 Iraqis, 93,000 Somalians. The other thing he's doing is spread entitlement, so everybody is hooked. You know, Obamacare, I don't think he cares about socialized medicine or anything. I think that what he wants to do is take 6 million people that are paying their own health insurance, kick them off the plans, make them take the government plan, which they can't afford, and make them depend on subsidies. And if he can get 15 or 20 million people who depend on Washington for their health care, he's got 15 or 20 million more votes. And that's why he's expanded Medicaid by 8 million, disability by 5 million, food stamps by 12 million. When he took office, a quarter of the country depended on means-tested welfare. Now more than a third does. And in the economy, he understands the fundamental fact that the poorer America gets, the more likely it is to vote Democrat. And the more prosperous America is, the more likely it is to vote Republican. Forget who delivered what under what presidency. My ex-boss Clinton created 23 million jobs, and Bush got elected twice. The better the country does, the more people don't need Democrats. So what he's trying to do is to keep the country, in effect, poor. One of the reasons why they don't do anything to promote marriage except gay marriage is that single people are poorer, and they vote Democrat more often. And, since he took office, median household income has dropped by $5,000, from $56,000 to $51,000. That's deliberate on his part. He wants that to happen. This isn't the consequence of incompetence or lack of good economic management. These are the goals of his policy, because back in ancient Roman times, there were two parties, the patricians against the plebeians. And the reason the United States was a conservative nation is the haves outnumbered the have-nots. And in that fundamental sense, Obama is trying to change it. And then in addition to that, with this guy Holder, he's doing everything he can to intimidate the Republican Party, to reduce it to a yapping lapdog. So like Japan and Mexico have a one-party country where nobody but a Democrat can win. And if you give money to the Republican Party, the IRS is going to close you down. You'll end up in jail like D'Souza. You'll end up having the EPA close you down because you violated some climate regulation or other. Federal contractors now have to disclose their campaign contributions. So God help they give to the Republican Party, they won't have a federal contract. And then he's also trying, he's ratifying all of this by eliminating the 60-vote requirement for Senate confirmation for judges. So he gets these yes-men on the court who will approve whatever he wants. And the worst of it is that he's trying to get rid of the Electoral College. You know about that, right?
Yep.
Mike?
No, I do. I'm just listening to you because you have a fountain of information, and instead of me just pretending like I'm going to ask an intelligent question, I'd rather you go on and tell us what's in your book. Because I think it's an important document that you've created. So what is in the book that we don't know about this corrupt, divisive, racist administration?
Motivation. His motivation. That's what you don't know. It's not to provide health care. It's not even to make medicine subject to government control. It's to win votes by making people depend on Washington for their health care.
All right, so Dick, this country was in the grips of the liberal Democrat Tammany Hall-like machine for how many years before it ended in the 1960s? How long did that go on?
Well, from 1932 until 1952, and then under Kennedy for 8 more years, Kennedy and Johnson.
But isn't there a fact that from the 1860s until the 1950s or something like that, the Democrats ran everything?
Republicans. The Republicans ran everything from 1860 to 1932, 17 years. Only 16 of them were Democrat and 8 of them conservative Democrat. And that's what he's trying to usher in, a one-party democracy. On the Electoral College, what I was saying is that he's having every state pass laws, saying that when a majority of the states pass this law, the winner of the national popular vote we'll get the electoral votes of our state, regardless of how our state voted. So if North Carolina votes Republican, but a Democrat wins a majority of the popular vote, North Carolina votes Democrat. And they're not trying to amend the Constitution. That takes two-thirds of Congress and three-quarters of the states. They just want a majority of the states to do this on their own and de facto eliminate the Electoral College.
So these are very clever people. I mean, let's not underestimate Eric Holder and Barack Obama. They're very clever, aren't they?
Not good at running the country, but he certainly is a good political strategist and organizer in implementing the Saul Alinsky program.
Yes. So what's going to happen now that Holder is gone? Who do you think they're going to put in there?
Oh, I don't know. Another radical. I don't think anybody would be as bad as Holder. Holder was kind of the race warrior that Obama wanted to be and couldn't get away with in the United States. And so he.
Look, you're a political strategist. Can you explain something to me? Because I can't for the life of me understand this. How could a street rat like Al Sharpton have become so prominent under Barack Obama? How?
Yeah, well, because of the publicity he attracts, but more importantly, nobody dares to cross him because the entire machinery of the federal government, from environmental regulation to legal regulation to the court system to the IRS, is now arrayed on behalf of the Sharptons and Obamas and Holders of the world.
But Al Sharpton was involved in the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire. Al Sharpton was a street hustler from the get-go. And yet the media calls him the Reverend Al Sharpton. I have challenged him on this show to produce his Reverend diploma. I don't know where he got his divinity degree from. How could a man of such questionable background be so prominent in this Obama administration? It irks me, Dick. It irks me. How do they reach into the gutter like this? Why?
Well, part of it is that Obama does not govern the United States. Obama governs 51% of the country, he hopes, 48% he fears, that are black, Latino, single white women, gay, or under 30. And his goal is to amass that coalition. The reason he's letting Muslims into the country is that he wants to add the Muslims to that voting bloc.
How many Muslims are in America now, Dick?
0.1% of the country as of 2010.
No, but how many millions of Muslims are there in America right now?
2.5 million.
How many? 2010. Sorry, 2.5 million? Dick, we're not communicating. How many Muslims are in America right now?
2.5 million.
Okay. How many Jews are there in America right now?
6.8 million.
So is Obama's intent to bring in more than 6 million Muslims? Is that it?
Yes.
And he wants to replace the Jewish vote with the Muslim vote? Why would that be? The Jews are all Democrats anyway to the 90th percentile.
He's winning the Jewish vote anyway.
So what does he need the Muslims for?
Muslim vote to his coalition by augmenting it. And that's the goal of his Middle East.
That's great. How many of the Muslims that he's brought in have been vetted for ties to terrorism, Dick?
Oh, I don't think many at all. And when you say vetted, how can we vet somebody when they come from Syria? How do we know? You know, it's not like you enter the last four digits of a social and you find that everything's done. There are no records. There's no indication of that.
Amazing. Dick, we're running short of time. And give us the title of your book again for all the listeners out there. I encourage them to read it. Give us the title.
Power Grab, Obama's Dangerous Plan for a One-Party Nation.
And I highly recommend it, Dick, and I want to thank you very much for being with us and for taking the trouble to write that great book. I'll be right back. It's The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is 52 minutes after the hour. Eric Holder then went on after Obama and did his little dance of how great he is and why he's leaving because he did such great work and all of that and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you heard it all. So let's hear a little bit about Eric Holder. And if you want to comment on anything we touched on today, 855-400-7282. Fire it away. Go ahead, please, Eric.
With very mixed emotions. Proud of what the men and women of the Department of Justice have accomplished over the last 6 years.
Oh,
and at
yeah.
the same time, very sad that I will not be a formal part of the great things that
I'm sure you're sad that you finally got found out. Of course you're sad.
Will accomplish over the next two.
All right, turn it off. I had enough of this fraud. That's the end of it. Why waste even a spare minute on it? Here's some trending political statements, stories rather. The FBI has identified the ISIS executioner who killed three hostages. Jihad Jan, they know who he is. I only pray to God they bring him to justice. I really do. I'd love to see him unmasked. I hope they don't kill him in Syria. See, this one I'd like to see a trial in America. I'd like to see that piece of garbage sweating on the stand. And I'd like to see the vermin that come out of the woodwork in his support. The U.S. is concerned about Russian Cold War-style bomber flights. Hamas just gave up control of Gaza. Let's see. South Korea thinks Kim Jong, mentally is in bad health after three-week absence. Too much kimchi, I suppose, or pornography. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Let's go to some callers. By the way, for those of you who just tuned in, if you missed my remarkable comments about the Jewish New Year, and they are remarkable, it sets a new standard in talk radio, they can be found in a small MP3 for 3 minutes on michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com has the MP3. Tom on WMAL in Washington. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, you joked a little bit about Isaiah some shows ago. I think you are a modern-day Isaiah, and this is not just an exaggerated...
I'm glad I'm Isaiah now, not John the Baptist, thank God.
Well, the Old Testament prophets didn't foretell the future. They simply saw the present more clearly than other people. They told people what they saw, and they often were berated and got into trouble for what they're doing. And you really are a current prophet. It fits very much with Rosh Hashanah today. Thank you.
Well, that's beautiful. I'm glad that you listened to me in Washington, D.C., Tom. I hope I brought some light to the air over there in Washington, that sea of, that swamp of darkness, Tom. Let me send you a copy of my forthcoming big bestseller, Stop the Coming Civil War. Here's another horrible story. The Islamo-fascist murderers just executed a woman whose crime was defending human rights. She was a lawyer. Islamic Muslim State militants in Mosul tortured and then publicly executed a woman, a human rights lawyer, a mother of three. They dragged her from her home at gunpoint, gave her a false trial, condemned her in a so-called Sharia court, which they'd like to impose here in America. And you know what her crime was? She defended the rights of others. That's who we are facing. These vermin, these subhumans, must be wiped off the planet. They don't deserve a trial. They must be annihilated. They must be annihilated. And in that regard, for those of you who want boots on the ground, I suggest you join the military. Especially those of you in talk radio who want boots on the ground. I say put down your golf shoes and put on a pair of desert boots. And don't go to a nightclub in your desert boots, but go to the desert and be the boots on the ground. Let's support Obama's air campaign right now because it's all we've got. Can't carpet everything he does. I mean, even if it's a mild reaction, it's something. I won't be happy until the last one of them is killed, to be honest with you. Look at what they're doing to women. Look what they're doing to children. Dianne Feinstein, she saw a tape of a three-year-old baby girl whose head was cut off by these vermin. They're not human beings. They're subhumans. You know what a subhuman is? People lower than cockroaches. Don't refer to them as young men. They're not young men. They're cockroaches and below. I'll be back for another hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I just wonder sometimes about my friends in the Congress who say, look at me, I'm more important, and let's, you know, focus it back on the Congress. We have a war resolution that talks about going after terrorists. We are working on another one, and in the meantime, the president has set forth a strategy.
The words spoken here today must be matched and translated into action.
Two peas in a pod.
Into deeds. Concrete action.
All right, let
him
even play it and get angry. I mean, what's the point of it? It's juvenilia. What's the point? There's Barbara Boxer, the fraud, Mrs. Medicaid, Medicare, and the environment. Miss Anti-War Barbara Boxer, appeasing the lunatics in the Bay Area as a fake anti-war activist. Now, all of a sudden, she's attacking members of Congress who want a War Powers Act enacted, which is on the books, by the way. And so there she is. She's putting down other congressmen who dare tell the president she'd go before Congress for an authorization. This is Miss Anti-War, the biggest fraud in the history of high heels. In my day, the most a woman like Barbara Boxer could have been. I mean, we know that we have a debased Congress. But let's say in my time, a woman like her, the most. I'm giving you the most she could have arrived at. Two brassiere stores on Union Turnpike. Maximum. A chain of two women's lingerie shops. Maximum. Now look at this. 20 years a senator. However, I don't know how long she's been there. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Take a look at what she's done to this country. How do the people in the Bay Area cavort as though they're intelligent and have such poor representation? I'll never understand. Hold the steps down that you know. Your friends in the Islamic State, those of you who are liberal, as you well know, have sympathy for them. In your heart of hearts, you actually see their point of view. You think they're just defending their civilization and their religion. That's how demented you really are. Well, today they tortured and executed a female lawyer, a woman lawyer, whose crime was defending human rights. They held her a fake trial in a fake court called the Sharia Court. And her crime was defending the rights of others, and they killed her. A mother of three was killed today in a city that they conquered. A city that they conquered. Amazing to me. Just amazing what goes on in this world and how people in America don't see the danger that they're in. Anyway, there's a lot of topics I have touched on today. And we had Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch, who brought the case that brought down Eric Holder. We had Dick Morris with his new book on. And now we come to the part of the show that I like best, which is the caller hour of the show. And the phone number here is 855-400-7282. You now have to listen to this soundbite. Here's Michelle Obama, the most spoiled woman in the history of America, who got everywhere based upon, certainly not upon her qualities or qualifications, again going to the race card or the sex card in clips 17 and 18. Listen to this. This is a shocker.
Women here are still woefully underrepresented in our government and in the senior ranks of our corporations. We still struggle with violence against women and harmful cultural norms that tell women how they are expected to look and act. We still have plenty of work to do here in America to provide quality education and opportunity for girls and boys, especially those from disadvantaged backgrounds.
What a crock of rubbish. What a crock of rubbish. This woman has abused the First Lady's office like no other First Lady in history. 72 personal assistants. Abuse of power like I've never seen, talking about the subjugation of women and harmful cultural norms. My God, who listens to them? My God, who listens to these people? I don't. All I can do is mock their insanity and absurdities. So why am I playing it? To show you how deeply disturbed this government is. That's why. And I do it so that maybe you'll come to understand what's at stake come this November. You say, well, the Republicans are no better. Slightly better, and then we can lobby. Democrats are beyond lobbying. Can't reach them. Closed shop. Cannot touch a Democrat. Can't reason with a Democrat. Cannot influence a Democrat. Cannot discuss with a Democrat. Cannot reason with a Democrat. But when the Republicans win in November, and win they will, we can reach them. We will reach them. I can guarantee you we'll shake them up. We will shake them up. Now let's go to the callers, 855-400-7282. Chattanooga, Tennessee, Jane on WGOW Radio. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. I know that you're a student of history, Dr. Savage.
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. Pardon me.
That's all right. I know that in history, it took the Spanish some, 700 years to drive out the Moors once they were in Spain? Do you think that's going to be
I don't know that it was 700 years. I do know that the Muslims invaded Spain. They conquered Spain. They converted it to Andalusia. Spain was known as Andalusia, if I'm not mistaken. And then they went on to France. They ran over the Pyrenees. And they were stopped in the Pyrenees by the Basque and by the French. The Muslims were killed and ravaged and annihilated and thrown out only through warfare, by the way, not through reason. They cannot be reasoned with. The fanatics cannot be reasoned with. They must be killed.
Right. Well, I know that they...
So why is Obama bringing in so many millions of Muslims, most of whom we don't even know if they... How could you bring in 100,000 people from Syria or Iraq and not vet them? And not see how many of them might be sleepers.
They haven't gone past their medieval mindset.
Well, all I can do is ask the questions because I have no answers. The questions themselves support the answers. But you have to understand that the Crusades were begun by the Muslims. This is something that most liberal-educated Christians don't understand. When they say, oh, the Christians were awful. In the Crusades, they killed Muslims and Jews. Well, that's true. But what you don't know is that the first crusade was that of Islam against Christians. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
I see you didn't know that. In 1169, the forces of Islam were rallied under a Kurdish adventurer named Saladin. You didn't know that the Kurds are Muslims, who had made himself master of Egypt. And Saladin preached a holy war against the Christians. He recaptured Jerusalem in 1187. And that provoked the Third Crusade. So the Crusades have been going on for well over 1,000 years, and we're now involved in a new crusade where the Muslims are trying to take over the entire world. And the Islamic State, in some sense, is nothing new. What they are doing in torturing and executing, burying alive, raping, is horrendous, but nothing new under the sun. Their ancestors, their antecedents, did the very same thing, and they're at it again. And the reason they're doing it is because of the weakness of President Obama, the weakness of the entire West, for that matter. The weakness of the Western leadership has permitted these rats to come out of their hiding places and take over cities and entire nations. That's the way it is. And the only thing that can stop them is a war to end all wars. And that's what we're in now. We're in a war. Every one of you listening to the show is in a war, whether you want to know it or not. It's a sad thing to say. It's frightening to many people. I myself am upset by it. I'm having nightmares virtually every night because of the war that we're involved in. These people are the worst scum since Hitler, and they have to be dealt with the way Hitler was dealt with. This will not end until all the Nazis are dead. This will not end until their cities are burnt to the ground. This will not end just as World War II didn't end, until the enemy's cities are annihilated and turned to dust. Unfortunately, there will be collateral damage, as there is right now. It's not being reported. It's sad but true. The reason the collateral damage is not being shown is because it will embarrass Barack Obama's air campaign. Okay, that's why the vermin in the media won't show the collateral damage. But let me tell you something. There's plenty of collateral damage right now because the rats are hiding amongst the innocent Christians and the innocent Yazidis. That's what's going on. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. We're going to come back and take more of your calls on the Savage Nation right here in a few minutes. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, we have some breaking news of who may be next in line to be the consigliere to Don Vito Obama, and it's none other than the wonderful Attorney General, Mr. Patrick of Massachusetts, who's done such a superb job of being a radical leftist demagogue that, of course, he's in line to be the consigliere to Don Obama. Now, as you know, Mr. Patrick is a superb governor of Massachusetts, and he will do a fabulous job to replace Eric Holder. In fact, he'll probably outdo Eric Holder. What's interesting to me that the president who says he's race neutral is picking another black man to be attorney general. Why is it that he seems to pick another black man to be attorney general? Why couldn't he pick, let's say, a mixture of people? Why not a woman? Why not a white woman? Why not a lesbian? Why not a Jew? Why not a Christian white man? Why not a fundamentalist with impeccable credentials who's clean? Why would he pick someone with the same exact agenda as his? Hello? Why? Why wouldn't he? KSFO, Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, it's Obama talking about how women are always judged for looks or whatever. A lot of that's women judging other women, so I don't know why they're trying to create another war on women based on what men are doing, because...
Michelle Obama said that American women are subjugated by harmful cultural norms. What does that mean?
Well, pretty much, it's a lot of those...
Every woman is judged more crudely by other women than by men. Do you know that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, the liberal media is doing a lot of...
What do you mean? Women look at another woman the minute she goes by. What do they look at? Her shoes, her behind, and her makeup.
Exactly.
So what do you mean cultural norms? What do they want to wear? A sackcloth?
Maybe a burqa. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, there's something to be said for that in the case of women who are built like Barbara Boxer. I can see that. I think that the burqa would be, frankly, not a bad choice of costuming for the aging Senate that we have. They're all octogenarians. It's time already to put the burqa on. In fact, in the case of Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, I think just a slit would be good enough for me. You know what I mean? Just the eyes would be enough. The rest I could do without. Nick, I'm sending you a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War. We're talking today about one of the worst attorney generals ever. One of the worst in history. A race baiter of the lowest order, never accountable to the rule of law, finally got caught because a judge finally said you're going to release those papers on the running of machine guns to Mexico. And that's a big deal. And he announced his resignation today. We had Tom Fenton on. And God bless him. Tom Fenton was on the show. I'm a little worried for him. There's no question about it. And now we learn today that none other than Freddie's fashion mod, Al Sharpton, is going to be picking the next attorney general. He boasted today that he was in talks immediately with the White House on who to put in there. I can't believe this country has fallen to that level. I don't care if you're a liberal. Do you want a street agitator like Al Sharpton picking the next attorney general? Can you actually say that you are not as disgusted as I am? Listen to this report. It's on the top of the Drudge Report, linked up from Business Insider in case you think the Drudge made it up. Al Sharpton says he's helping the White House pick the next attorney general. He said his, quote, civil rights organization, that's unbelievable to me, civil rights organization. He said it's engaged in immediate conversations with the White House to name a successor to AG attorney Eric Holder. Sharpton said, we are engaged in immediate conversations with the White House on deliberations over a successor, whom we hope will continue in the general reverend. It makes me furious to hear them refer to him as the reverend or Reverend Sharpton. I get angry. Why do I get angry over a little thing like that? Because the very same media that disrespects me and mocks my real PhD from the University of California, which I worked very hard for, and my dissertation was published in a major journal, they'll mock my PhD, which is real, and they'll sit on their hands and get on their hands and knees and pray to this street rat, Reverend Sharpton, my foot. Now, that's bad enough. But to think that this lowlife is going to pick our next attorney general should tell you an awful lot about why the Democrat Party should never, ever be elected to anything. Now, there's an update to that. 3:17 p.m. Eastern Time, Al Sharpton sent a statement to Business Insider saying that he is not involved in the decision-making. Here's what he said. He said, we did not say we're in the decision-making. We're in a conversation to reach out to them, to have meetings about what we want to see in a successor. Well, I think Al Sharpton should pick one of the kids off the streets from Ferguson, someone without a law degree, because I believe that a kid from the streets of Ferguson without even a college degree would make a better attorney general than Eric Holder did, because you got to understand the oppression that those poor youth in Ferguson have experienced. Give them all the qualifications they need to work for Barack Obama. Just the hatred and anger alone is enough. Think about that. The hatred and anger alone from one of the street kids in Ferguson would probably impel the attorney fat slob. I liked him when he was a pushy, fat street slob. How did he lose so much weight? I'm worried for him. How does a man like that shrink like this? I don't understand it. He must be eating light bulbs. Maybe GE had some extra light bulbs that they gave him in lieu of payment. I don't. Governor of Massachusetts is headed to D.C. to be a contender. No one cares. You know it's going to be a replacement for the same agenda. So what's the difference? Why get excited over this? What are you expecting to pick someone fair and honest who would oppose the racist agenda of Obama? The racist, Islamist, socialist agenda? What are you kidding? The contempt of Congress case will proceed, so Holder resigns that day. That's all. Here's a new law came out. For those of you who think that Russia is going to run away from Barack Hussein Obama, the Russians have just drafted a law that would allow the seizure of foreign property. Did you hear this? They're also mulling the boycott of Hollywood movies amid sanctions. Now, that should help. That should help wake up Hatzenberg, and Matzenberg. If they can't distribute their movies in Russia, ay, ay, ay. Russian draft law would allow seizure of foreign property. Russian courts could get the green light to seize foreign assets on Russian territory. So they're retaliating because America and some EU nations are seizing property belonging to companies controlled by Russian billionaires. This is how wars begin, from foolish morons in high places, notably in the high places called the White House.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Now, for those of you who may have missed it, here is my description from yesterday explaining the meaning of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, what it actually means, and the Book of Life, which, of course, transcends all religions. I want to talk about Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year. All it means is the head of the year. It's the Jewish New Year. We go from now, the year 5,774, to the year 5,775 at sundown tonight in the Jewish calendar. What does that mean to you? Probably nothing. But what it means to the world is that there's been a contiguous civilization for almost 6,000 years. Despite all of the adversity, there are those amongst the Jewish people who have maintained the traditions and kept them alive. Almost 6,000 years of the traditions of the Jewish people. So when you say Judeo-Christianity or Judeo-Christian society, I think you need to study a little bit more about what the word Rosh Hashanah means. It's actually a very happy holiday. It just means the head of the year. And what it means to the religious out there, Christians or Jews, it reaffirms the special relationship between God and mankind. It makes us remember that we are dependent upon God as our sustainer and creator. But it also reminds us that God is dependent upon us because it's we who make his presence known and we who make his presence felt in the world. Without us, God could not exist on this planet. So it's a very big two-way street. Now, what happens on Rosh Hashanah is very important to the believers. This begins what are known as the 10 days of awe. What happens between Rosh Hashanah, which is a happy celebratory holiday, ends on Yom Kippur, the day of atonement, the day of fasting, where people beg God for their forgiveness for all the sins they have committed or might have committed or would commit or whatever. It's a very heavy day, a very sad day. But during this 10 days, known as the 10 days of awe, Jews believe that all people of the world pass before God like a flock of sheep. And in heaven, in the court of heaven, it's decided who shall live and who shall die, who shall be impoverished and who shall be enriched, who shall fall and who shall rise. So religious Jews might have been seen going to a body of water. That could be a lake, a river, just a body of water. And they go and they throw bread upon the water. Many songs and poems were written about that. And what did religious Jews do is they throw bread into the water where there are fish. Because water symbolizes kindness, and fish have an ever-open eye, which corresponds to the 13 divine attributes that God has commanded us to follow. And so we're supposed to throw bread into water where there are living fish. And then they say a simple prayer. And please indulge me for a minute, because I want you to listen to how political this religious prayer is that is said today during the Tashlich prayer. You'll see how political religion has become. The prayer goes like this: Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and forgives transgression? For the remnant of his heritage, he does not maintain his wrath forever, for he desires to do kindness. He will again show his mercy. He will suppress our iniquities. And you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Show faithfulness to Jacob, kindness to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from the days of yore. From out of distress I called to God. With abounding relief, God answered me. The Lord is with me, I do not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me among my helpers, and I will see the downfall of my enemies. And it concludes with these two prayers. It is better to rely on the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to rely on the Lord than to trust in nobles. The last phrase is of particular importance to people who are extremely political. Never, ever trust the politician. It was taught to us from biblical times. They are not to be trusted. It is better to rely on the Lord than to trust in nobles. Do you understand that? So that's one of the foundations of this Rosh Hashanah holiday, that you may see religious Jews in your neighborhood not know what they're doing with the black outfits, throwing bread in the water. You think they're nuts, Meshuggah, what are they doing? Another one of the elements of Rosh Hashanah is the sounding of the ram's horn in temples around the world at sundown. And it has a certain sound. Neil, will you play that one now? This is the sound of the shofar, which is read in temple after the reading of the Torah. Can we hear that, please? What that is an attempt to awaken the congregants from their slumber, awaken them to the fact that another year has passed and another year is about to begin. But more than that, in my interpretation, it's a very deeply mystical sound, the blowing of the ram's horn. The mystics, the Jewish mystics who study the Kabbalah, believe that angels are formed from the blowing of the ram's horn. And these sounds, the tekiah and the shevarim, the teruah and the tekiah, All of these sounds ask the angels to intercede favorably on our behalf to atone for all of our sins. And we're asking God to hear our voice, to help us live in kindness, no matter what has been done to us, no matter what has befallen us this day or the day before, whether it be physical or financial or personal or in your love life or you lost a mother or a father or a child. You're saying to God, I still love you. I understand that I rejoice in your word, like one who finds greatness anywhere. And thank you for giving me the wisdom to understand you, God, because it takes great wisdom to understand God. It's not that easy to understand God. In fact, in an age of cynicism, it's very difficult to show any belief in God. People are very cynical today. But you should understand that many people around the world, Jewish or Christian or other religious people, have called to God in their days of distress, and they can tell you over and over again, with absolute certainty, that God answered their prayers. I'm not going to go into a schmaltzy story about my life, but it happened. It happened, and it's very important that I tell you that I personally know that God exists, precisely because we can't see him, he exists. That's what human beings need. And so therefore, as I say to you, religion is paramount to our society and to our civilization. And so since the primitives who believe in religion, amongst the Jews, beginning with Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of awe, they believe, even the most cynical actually probably has a semblance of memory of being a child, during which the father may have said to him, mind your step, son, you're entering God's temple, and over the next 10 days, God is going to judge you whether you're written into the book of life. Like, oh, man, okay, I'm young, I'm 8 years old, I don't want to be wiped out. You watch your step, you blow that nose, you brush those teeth. You do your homework, you don't tell any lies, you polish that apple for your teacher. You know, do everything right over these next 10 days because God is watching. So the child, you know, believes in that. And then you become a man, you become cynical. Who believes it? That's for a kid. And yet there's an awful lot of adults who actually believe God is watching them in these days. So they do certain rituals, they blow the shofar, and they say, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has granted us life, sustained us, enabled us to reach this occasion. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean God has granted us life? Isn't it Obama who's granted us life? What do you mean sustained us? Isn't it welfare and food stamps that sustain us? What do you mean God has enabled us to reach this occasion? Isn't it Obama who has enabled us to reach this occasion? Well, to some it is, but to most who understand that God preceded Obama, there actually is a God. And there will be a God after Obama. And they do ask God to inscribe them in the book of life. But what's a very interesting fact that you don't know is that during the Rosh Hashanah period, when the men are praying and the women are praying, They say in Hebrew, remember us for life, inscribe us in the book of life for your sake, O living God. So you're saying to God, for your sake, inscribe us in the book of life. What does that mean? Why would God want us to be in the book of life? Why does he want us to live, not to die? I say this is one of the most important questions that I, as a spiritual man, could answer on the radio from my perspective. Am I a rabbi? No. Am I a holy man? No. Am I asking for a donation? No. Am I selling you a survival item to cash in on it? No. Am I selling you a Savage Bible? No. I'm giving you one man's interpretation of that very meaningful prayer where the religious man says, God, inscribe us in the book of life for your sake. Why do they say for your sake? Why is it for God's sake that he would want to inscribe us? Because without man, God could not exist on this planet. Do you understand that? And do you know how that differentiates us from the atheists? As good as they may be, some atheists, and as wonderful they may be, and as great shepherds they may be of the earth, they don't even understand what they're doing in the big picture. In other words, the atheistic nature lover would say, I'm as good as you, if not better, because I protect the environment. What they don't understand is that a plant cannot worship God. The animal who I may love cannot worship God. My dog, who I love very much, cannot worship God. The eagle cannot worship God. The hawk that I love to look at as he flies over the trees cannot worship God. But I can. And so, in other words, for God to exist on this planet, we have to be here. So for the sake of God, we ask him to inscribe us in the book of life. And that's my revelation. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Nonsense. Nothing means anything. You know, the mystics, there's a very famous story of a man goes up to Albert Einstein. Allegedly, it's a true story. And Einstein agreed to see him. He was famous by that time. And he went up to it with a great physicist, and he said, Herr Einstein, I finally realized it's all a dream. It's all in our imagination. Whereupon Albert Einstein sits up from his desk, slaps the man in the face, and says, is that a dream? So until the American people are slapped in the face by the Islamo-fascists, today they were slapped in the face by Eric Holder's corruption and lies and cover-ups. Will it affect most Americans? No. They're as dumb as stones. Most Americans are as dumb as stones. All they want is marijuana. Go down the liberal agenda. What, do I have to list it for you? So what am I going to do about it? Here's a question for you, though. Why is it that the United States and its Arab allies are the only ones bombing the Islamist state? Why isn't Europe? Why not France? Well, France is the only European country to do the bombing. But they've only done it in Iraq, not in Syria. They will not launch strikes in Syria. Why? Because Assad has not asked them to do so, and Assad is still the leader of Syria. So they, in other words, they respect the sovereignty of a sovereign nation. You get it? Britain is getting ready to join the fray. What about Western Europe? The Dutch government, would you believe this, is planning to contribute 6 fighter jets. As soon as the men come back from the houses of ill repute along the canals, they're going to polish up the 6 fighter jets we gave them, and they're going to join. Belgium is considering an offer of 6 more. Belgian fighter jets. They're going to join the fray. After they fill up on mul and beer, they're going to join the fray. Germany, no airstrikes. They armed the Kurds. That was a very big deal for the Germans, but they're not involved. They're not going to do that. So that's what's going on. We're alone, basically. Big news is that Eric Holder is stepping down because of his corruption with regard to running guns to Mexico. And the FBI believes it has identified the Islamo-fascist murderer from hell who's cut off the heads of Foley and another, at least 2. Big, brave man. I can't wait to see him on trial. I pray to God that they do try him. I'd like to see the urine running down his legs in the courtroom. They got him. They've identified the executioner, said the head of the FBI. I won't tell you who it is. Thank God. Maybe the press can release his name and go and talk to him. Break pre- Maybe the press, maybe Wolf Blitzer or whatever that guy is with the dungarees with the white hair on CNN. I don't remember his name. Blooper. Abraham Blooper. Maybe Abraham Blooper on CNN can get an exclusive with him and ask him questions about, and what is it that, what exactly is it that that's inflamed you against the West? it's good to be interested in everything. How long can I do this, though? I mean, come on. Are you still interested in the war, or you moved on already to another topic? This is the American people. They think that the crusade is over. The Muslim crusade has been going on since 1,000 years now. They think it's ended already because a few bombs were dropped, and that's the end of it. It's going to be on your whole life. Mugabe denounces evil machinations by U.S. and the EU in Zimbabwe. You hear? Oh, don't get me started on Zimbabwe and Mugabe. I'm thankful of one thing, which is that now that Eric Holder has stepped down, that Obama has not suggested that Mugabe become attorney general. That's the one. You know, you have to count your blessings. Most people don't know who Mugabe is. If I said Mugabe, they wouldn't know what I'm talking about. I think it's some kind of sandwich. Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe told the UN, he spoke to the UN, that his country, blah, 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 Zimbabwe. You know what Zimbabwe is, though. It used to be Rhodesia. This corrupt criminal has ruled Zimbabwe since independence from Britain in 1980. He doesn't want any regime change. Mugabe likes this. He doesn't want regime change. He's a liberation hero. I don't know why Obama has not invited him for the President's Medal of Freedom to rekindle U.S.-Africa ties. Mugabe would actually make a fine attorney general, but Mugabe would make an attorney general who would certainly be compliant with Obama's view of the world. They're not much different in worldview. He's been a dictator since 1980. You know that Obama's not looking forward to to the end of his term, 8 years. Why 8 years? A young man, yet he's healthy. Plenty of time, plenty of mileage left on the clock. Woman uses hidden camera to expose life under Islamic State. Maybe the women can save us from the Islamo-fascists. Here's one for all you immigrant lovers who are bringing disease and destitution to America. Immigrant families fail to report to agents. You're shocked. You mean the Hondurans and the Nicaraguans that were brought in by Obama and were supposed to report are not reporting? Huh, shocking. No, they're just infecting. They're not reporting. They're spreading their flu across America. Half the states in America are now reeling from this virulent flu, which some call the Honduran flu. I named the Obama flu affectionately. But it's more specifically the Nicaraguan flu because this strain of virus that's spreading in America is endemic in Nicaragua. Obama has brought an illness to America. You've seen nothing yet. Wait until the troops come back from Ebola-laden Africa. Just wait and see what this damage does to this country. Remember the adage of the Savage Nation starting October 7th? Tell your friends and neighbors, stop the coming civil war. God bless America.
Savage.